Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS Foodie Champ at Prelude, San Francisco, California. Chef Selton Andrew Hendrickson-Jones. That's quite the name, Chef. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I have to get into the name because I'm sensing a little Celtic in there, a little English, a little Irish, maybe some Welsh.
Yeah.
What's behind your name?
Yeah, there's a big mix there. You know, my name sort of made up with my parents. It was a last-minute decision. My mom obviously wanted me to have her name. My dad wanted me to have his. Hyphenated it, and then the middle name there of Andrew, yeah. And then me and my brother have the same initials, so that's kind of a cool thing.
Well, there you go. It gets noticed. It's a conversation piece.
Yeah.
As are the cocktails. I always ask Chef to kick off, what are we drinking? And by the way, friends, just to say, this cocktail, I mean, this is a cocktail all in caps. The love, the passion that went into this is quite something. Talk us through this cocktail here at Prelude.
Yeah, so this is called the PFC Martini. It stands for... Prelude Fried Chicken Martini. We're doing a little bit of a bird theme today. This is, you know, all the flavors that you would find in a classic fried chicken. You've got a buttermilk wash. There's dill pickle brine in there. All of the classic fried chicken spices all washed into the vodka and clarified out. So at the end, it's a very clean color. And then we garnish it with a little bit of this rice chip with vegan chicken salt and the same spices, actually, from the stuffed chicken wing on our menu.
My word. That is a cocktail.
Cheers.
Cheers to you. Here we go. Prelude, the cocktail. Mmm. PFC. My word. There is a whisper of chicken in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's really fun. This is really a cocktail that is a collaboration between Franco, the bar director, and myself. We love to talk and come up with ideas. And this was one that I think is thought of more like a cooking recipe than it is like a cocktail.
I mean, that is something. Got to have it. Friends, if you just come here for one thing, come for this first. We'll talk about the food in a moment, Chef. Let's go back in time. Your journey. Who was cooking in the family and growing up where? And who was putting food on the table? What was coming out of the kitchen?
Sure. Grew up in Sacramento, California. My grandma and great grandma moved out from Alabama when they were when my grandma was, you know, in her early 20s, and she was the main inspiration for not only my early cooking memories, but sort of like how it came to be at Prelude. She was the one putting food on the table, grits at every meal, big fried chicken dinners on Sundays, the whole lot. So,
well, it shows up here in the menu for sure. We'll get into it, but you had to have had an early triumph in the kitchen. Do you recall the first dish you made for your parents or for grandma that was a winner? You thought, okay, there's something here. Was there something? Were you cooking early?
I was cooking early. I can remember the first thing that my grandma taught me how to make was She called them Nanny's Special Eggs, and they I was just tall enough to reach the counter on a kitchen chair. We were mixing eggs together. Her secret ingredient, funny enough, Velveeta cheese and Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
Yes.
You said it right, Chef.
Yeah.
How did that taste?
Delicious. I still love it to this day.
Yeah.
Those kind of flavors, I'm still very, very, very drawn to.
Isn't it funny in how those flavors will instantly take you back home, take you back to grandma, one bite, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then obviously, of course, you know, like I said, grits were on the table at almost every meal, either breakfast or dinner. And it's something that is kind of a cornerstone we like to serve here at the restaurant as well.
I have to ask you about your first job in a kitchen. My first job was in a restaurant washing dishes. What was your first job in a kitchen? Where was it? What was the gig?
Yeah, I was actually in Sacramento at a little Italian bistro. I started off as a dishwasher as well, and it was kind of
high five. I knew there was a connection there.
It's the classic story of, you know, one of the cooks calls out sick. I told the chef I had been watching all of the dishes. I know the recipes, and he said, "All right, here's your shot. Let's go." And
there
it was.
And just by showing up and being in the right place at the right time, you got serious about food. Was there a college journey as part of it?
Yeah, I went to culinary school at Johnson & Wales in Denver, Colorado, and then I transferred. They also have a campus in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
So I finished my bachelor's degree in food service management out in Charlotte, had the opportunity to work for some really, really great people out there as well, learn a lot about the restaurant industry.
Well, listen, you're making your own mark here, but every chef has a chef who taught you, a chef who inspired, a chef who in some way guided you. Is the one chef that you can give a little love to, who really gave you a leg up, shone a light on you, and taught you. Is there any one chef, maybe there's two, who helped you along the way? Who would you like to name drop?
Yeah, there's two. There's James Siaboot from Comey Restaurant out in Oakland. Yeah. Highly regarded still to this day. One of the only two Michelin star restaurants out in the East Bay. Yeah. A super huge mentor of mine when I was young, coming up in the restaurant industry in my early 20s, learning to manage kitchens for the first time. We called him the Zen master because he never yelled. It was just like about high standards and high quality, but in a very positive and nurturing environment. So that was one that I definitely like to name. It was a huge mentor of mine. And then currently, the corporate executive chef for our group, Dustin Falcon. He got the Michelin star for Niku. I worked at Niku Steakhouse for the previous 2 years before Prelude, and definitely continues to be a mentor to this day.
Well, I get the Zen-like attitude, because you seem to be pretty zen-like, pretty mellow. I haven't seen you in the kitchen during prime time because I've been out here as a diner, but you seem to be pretty level-headed and mellow chef. And I love that those two chefs that I love and respect, they had such an impact on you. It's paying off. Michelin came knocking recently. You got a little love in the guide. How did that feel?
It felt really, really cool. Honestly, I did not expect this this early on in our restaurant's life. Also, you know, in this neighborhood, we were a little bit worried, but we have Verju a couple blocks away, Four Kings a couple blocks away as well. So we have this little triangle of the, you know, I like to say the block's heating up right now. So
it is hot.
Yes.
It's hot. Prelude, tell folks what's behind the name and where are we exactly?
Prelude, it has a tie to music as well, a prelude in an orchestra, kind of meaning like an intro to what's next. So we're kind of trying to meld both worlds of like old school, nostalgic, childhood memory cooking of these Southern recipes from my grandma and kind of like old school Americana, but bringing it and ushering it into the modern world of fine dining and existing in California in the Bay Area, using local ingredients, fostering relationships with farms, being sustainable.
Well, Chef, I expressed this to you when I came in for dinner and had the most magnificent meal, full disclosure, friends. And you'll understand why when you come and make a resi here. I love the surprises. I love the voyage of discovery. When it comes to putting a menu together, how does that work for you? What's your process in deciding what ends up and what's taken off?
Yeah, I think that a lot of times creating a menu like this is a process of editing out ideas. So you think you have a lot of ideas and you want to put a lot on the plate. I think that that's a very, you know, thing to do as a young cook. But as you kind of grow and mature and wisen up, you realize that the less you put on the plate, sometimes the better. That's actually something that James Siaboot told me. And
yeah.
I at the time I was like, no, we need more things. But now I'm like, no, we need less things. So
less is more.
Less is more. I've fully come full circle on that.
Yeah. And when we look at let's just take this bird with a broken wing. It's just a wing. Let's take this and talk through it, because as I look at the two dishes you prepared today, there is a theme. We're all about the birds today. And there's a lot that goes into each one, but you look at the plate, it looks pretty simple, and yet you've done a lot of things to these birds to get them to this abundant moment for our joy. The wing, firstly, the name of the dish, what's behind it, what inspired it, and talk us through it.
We call this one the wing. That's the name. So a stuffed chicken wing. It's
Will you stop overthinking things?
Yeah, right.
What is this? The wing.
The wing. Eat it. It's good. Yeah. So the wing was inspired by angel wings, which is a Southeast Asian kind of appetizer snack, traditionally stuffed with things like rice noodles and salted pork and a lot of nice, bold Southeast Asian flavors. So I wanted to take that idea, use it with a lot of Southern flavors. So in here you have all the flavors you'd find in dirty rice, and andouille sausage, chicken liver, country ham, Cajun mirepoix or Holy Trinity. Deglazed down with a lot of bourbon and Worcestershire, and then a little light tempura batter on the outside with all these dry spices that we made from chilies that we bought from the farmers market at the peak of their season in summer, fermented them and dried them into a powder.
I mean, what a dish. It's the name of it is so simple, and yet there are so many components, there's so much to this. And one bite will send you to heaven, just because I love the sound of the crunch on radio. Sorry, chef, I'm going to eat before you here. Yeah, so this is the wing, and here's how it sounds when you bite in. Then the party on the palate. Then the joy. I mean, my word. I said it to you in the night, that's the best chicken wing I've ever had in my life. And I'm a guy who usually avoids wings. I don't know why. Not anymore.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, thank you. That's quite an honor. I think that the flavors are really fun. You know, it stays super crunchy. We worked on the batter a long time to get it to a place where we're really happy with. You know, we've had some mistakes in the past of wings that had kind of sat around, and we thought, hey, let's revisit this and see just how soggy or crunchy it is. Surprisingly, it's very, very crunchy even hours later. So
it is perfection, chef. It really is, friends. KCBS Foodie Chap, Liam Maitland here, Chef Selton, Prelude, the restaurant. You'll find it at the J Hotel, downtown San Francisco, just off Battery and
Clay Street in the financial district, Jackson Square, where those two neighborhoods kind of intersect.
You know what? Just let your nose lead you here, because it will. Second dish, chef. This poor little guy had the last best day of his life just yesterday. And today he ended up in a fryer. A lot more happened here. Took us to, I actually didn't end up in the fryer, but he got a bird bath from the oil from the fryer. Talk us through dish number two. What is it and what's behind it?
Yeah, this is dry-aged, cold-smoked, sorghum-lacquered Brent Wolf quail. On the menu, we just call it Brent Wolf quail. We dry-age it in-house for 14 days, and then we cold-smoke it with applewood. We brush it with a syrup that's infused with sorghum, garlic, and bay leaf, and then hot oil blanch it. So we're ladling very hot oil over the skin and cooking the different parts at different times to sort of lend a even cooking at the end. Then we carve it off and take most of the bones out for you and finish it on the bean chotan charcoal. And then we serve it with a little bit of a chow chow, a pretty classic southern condiment. Ours has fermented fennel and citrus, a little fresh celery and chive, and a little bit of apple cider vinegar and brown sugar for sweetness.
I mean, a southern dish has to have a little brown sugar, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But I have to talk about the love that you gave the bird. I mean, you did give it an oil bath.
Yeah, it's a labor of love for sure. Each one is hand ladled before service. And that is to cook it more evenly. You know, if you just drop this into a fryer, you might have breasts that are undercooked and legs that are overcooked.
Yeah.
But we're cooking each part individually.
I love the presentation, Chef. Listen, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's how does the food taste? But I love the presentation. I love the whimsy. Talk us through the presentation. I know it's radio, it would be hard to describe, but there are a couple of components, and the way you break it down and serve it on a plate, and then this little accoutrement on the side. Talk us through it, the presentation.
Yeah, so the plate is like I said, very simple looking, seemingly. But we cut the carve the breast in half. We serve the leg with the foot on, and wrap that leg in a little bit of twine, so you have like a nice little handle to pick it up in. The idea is that you swipe it through the little spoon of condiment or chow chow that we put on the plate for you. And then afterwards, we serve a little accoutrement on a side dish of the wing that we've rolled in this crumble made from puffed wild rice, Carolina gold rice that has been toasted and powdered, and then fresh chive.
I mean, my word. And by the way, this is just one course. In how many courses? Talk us through the tasting menu. It's how many courses?
Yeah, currently we're featuring 7 courses on a nightly basis. We'll change things around seasonally. We have a few staples that kind of is a through line. They will always be there, the chicken wing, the wing being one of them.
The wing, it's not leaving. It's not flying off anytime soon.
No, can't take that anywhere.
You've got the wings. Next.
yeah, and then, you know, 6 other fun, savory courses, and then a dessert.
Talk us through your pastry program, your dessert program. How does the meal end?
Right now, the meal ends with ambrosia salad, which is an old-school American kind of party or potluck dish. I think everyone's, you know, aunt or grandma that's grown up here probably has their version of it. It has a really bad connotation, but we've kind of tried to take that and flip the script and make not your grandma's ambrosia salad.
Well, when I saw it, I immediately thought of the Irish nuns who raised me, and that's what we would have for dessert as a treat on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't into it. Your ambrosia moved the needle, game changer. Respect, I now love it. Apologies to the Irish nuns if they're listening. Chef, what motivates you to get out of bed and cook every day? What inspires you?
What motivates me is, you know, not only that, like to have a team that rallies around and we all kind of working towards a common goal, but, you know, to be able to offer a respite or an oasis for people coming in to dine. There's so many choices, especially here in San Francisco, to go out and dine. So I always feel very grateful when somebody chooses Prelude and comes in and chooses, you know, to have dinner and spend their hard-earned money with us. So that's what motivates me to do the very best that we could do every single day.
Well, I know the cocktail program is important. Obviously, there's great communication with you in the bar. That's an important relationship.
Absolutely. I think that it all has to tie together. We're working on things in the future to do beverage pairings that don't just encompass wine, but encompass cocktails, sodas, non-alcoholic things, infusions, kombuchas, the whole nine. So I think that the more utilization we can have, the more communication from the bar team, the better.
Wine, big part of the story here at Prelude as well, right?
Huge part of the story. Fortunate enough to have a master sommelier on the floor every single day in the dining room. You know, he's worked in places like Saison and Engler,
He knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah. He turned me on some beauties the night we came in. Last couple of questions, Chef. For those who have not been to Prelude, why should they come?
I think you should come and try something that's hopefully just a little bit different than the usual offerings in the Bay Area. I think that we're trying to be just different enough and just push the envelope and get you out of your comfort zone, but still providing, like I said, super nostalgic and fun flavors at the end of the day.
And outside the kitchen, what tickles your joy spot when you're not cooking, when you're not, you know, head down over dishes? What does Chef Selton like to do when he's not by the stove?
I like to check out any new restaurants that I can. On Sundays and Mondays, it's a little bit more difficult. And then when
any
the weather's...
Any favorites?
Yeah, I love Rintaro. I just was able to go to Verju earlier. It's, like I said, a couple blocks away. Had a super beautiful meal there. Burdell out in Oakland, Chef Jeff doing great things, a great friend of mine. And yeah, those are the ones.
And aside from chicken at restaurants, you said there was one other thing. If the weather's good, you like to...
Golf.
Really? A golfer? How's your handicap?
It's horrible, but I like to get out and have fun anyway.
Well, listen... thank you so much for your time today, Chef. And friends, do yourself a favor. San Francisco, the food scene, the culinary scene, is beginning to be stacked to the gills with great young chefs doing great things. Imagination, passion, love, a nod to your grandma, a much of your menu, a nod to the South, but just innovative, creative, delicious food. So I encourage everyone, you know, stop what you're doing right now. Get on the phone. Get online. Make a resi. Come to Prelude. You'll be jolly glad you did. Chef, put it right there. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
So there it is. The wing. And then our lovely little quail bird here. And this knockout cocktail, the PFC Prelude Fried Chicken Cocktail. It'll change your life. More Chef Selton's story at kcbsradio.com. And click on Foodie Champ. I'll have another, please.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.